Welcome to In Conversation with Lyndon Terracini, the podcast where we meet the extraordinary talents, both on stage and off, working at Opera Australia. These conversations were all originally filmed for our streaming service, OA TV. You can find more online at tv.opera.org.au, as well as full productions and behind-the-scenes footage. Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to OA TV. And my very special guest today, soprano Eleanor Lyons.
Good morning, Lyndon.
Eleanor, how are you?
Fantastic, how are you?
Good. I'm very well, thanks for coming in.
Pleasure.
So you had a great success singing Donna Anna in Don Giovanni, and then, you know, by the March 14, everything had finished here. And you intended to go back to Vienna, where you live, but unfortunately COVID-19 stopped all of that. But do you want to go, let's go back to when you grew up in Sydney.
I did.
And you went to the Sydney Conservatorium.
I did, that's where I met my husband.
Yeah, and in fact we're going to speak to Vladimir next week. But then you decided to go to Russia.
Yes.
And that was a very unusual course to take. Usually singers or people who want to be singers in Australia go to England or Germany and sometimes to Italy. But Russia is unusual. Do you want to talk about why you decided to go on that course?
Well, it sort of wasn't really my decision in a way because my husband, who wasn't then my husband, but I was passionately in love with him, he decided to go to Russia to study for 5 years at the St. Petersburg Conservatoire because there's a wonderful conducting school there. Mm. And of course, I started coming for periods of time and eventually spent more and more time there, learnt Russian, and then I went to study there at the Mariinsky.
And, I mean, you've glossed over it, but learning Russian is not an easy thing.
Well, I always say in Russian, я училась в постели, which means I learnt it between the sheets. and I also had another great motivating factor, which was my mother-in-law. So I'll take you to a very special evening, the first time I came over to my in-law's house. And they're all speaking Russian and sometimes darting eyes looking at me, and I remember leaving that dinner thinking to myself, I have to learn Russian just to know what they're saying.
Yeah.
Anyway, flash forward, I learned Russian. They're just talking about, oh, did you hear that, you know, Sasha's daughter, blah, blah, blah. I've got an appointment next Thursday at the doctor's. Nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful language, wonderful to sing in.
Yeah.
And beautiful repertoire.
Yeah, wonderful repertoire. So you started studying in Russia, singing. And who did you study with there?
I actually studied with Yelena Obrazcova,
Fantastic.
Who was such an incredible human and artist, not just singer. I mean, she had the incredible voice, which I remember, even, you know, when I met her, she was a little bit older, but it was like a gigantic black fur, you know, a glossy black fur, and the way that she could use it was just incredible. She had a wonderful education and then she had so many incredible experiences which helped her to become an even more honed artist.
I remember hearing her sing at the bicentennial performance at La Scala in Don Carlo. And she sang Eboli, of course, and she had a huge success, but it was her voice was incredibly resonant.
Yes.
And in that theatre, it just engulfed the theatre. It was an amazing sound.
One of the things I remember about her were her hands that were gigantic. Mm-hmm. And she used to always have a really dark manicure, so she had these sort of humongous hands, which probably would have been great for gardening. And she also had a humongous head, but she was such a compassionate lady and hilarious as well. I remember one story was that she always loved to wear black. And I came in one day and I said, look, Yelena Vasilievna, I'm wearing a black dress. Do you like it? She said, well, it's nice, except, you know, you should have a split down the side and show your legs. And I said, oh, my legs are not as gorgeous as yours. And she goes, oh, my legs, they were so beautiful. She whips out her wallet and opens it up. And in it is a picture of her in her white lingerie like this. Oh, and she's showing it to my husband who turned bright red. She was a character.
Fantastic. Do you want to talk a little bit about the different, obviously it's different culture, but I mean the different culture of singing between what you had in Australia and Russia and how it was actually studying singing there.
So in Australia, I feel like we're very free. We don't have the baggage that a lot of European countries have. Mm. And I think that that lends us to a lot more freedom, especially artistically. Mm. We don't grow up listening to necessarily to great Schubert cycle, mm. song cycles or things like that, where we, you know, it's very serious and all of that. We're quite free. Mm. Whereas in Russia, music is a very, very, very serious business. Mm. Back in Soviet times, it was a matter of national pride. Mm. And basically the two best things you could be were an artist or a doctor. Mm-hmm. They were the absolute highlights of anyone's career. Mm. So it's very, very serious, whereas here where we do it more because we love it mm. and because, you know, it's something that makes us feel good. So studying in Russia is extremely strict. Mm. It's extremely serious. If you turn up and you don't know your repertoire, you get shown the door. Mm. They say, come back when you've learned how to do it properly. Lots and lots of hours. Mm. And I think the other thing is that a lot of the singers are also musicians. You know, maybe they mm. started out as a cellist. They start very early, age 5, mm. playing piano, cello, violin. And then, you know, some of them find out, oh, actually I can sing, and they go into it later on. Mm. So a lot of my colleagues, for instance, could sit down and just play Rachmaninoff songs, mm. you know, and my jaw was on the
sure.
on the floor.
Yeah.
And the other thing that was really wonderful was that all of the lessons were open. Mm-hmm. So when my teacher was teaching me,
yeah.
I had all of my colleagues sitting in the room with us.
Interesting.
So again, that adds a little bit of a bit more tension, a bit more pressure to do mm. really well in front of your colleagues.
And do you want to talk a bit about, because when you sing, we have a classic Russian technique. Do you want to talk a little bit about how you found that and what it means for a singer?
In Russia, life is very different to how it is in Australia. Mm. It's a lot more gritty. It's the weather is a lot harsher. Mm. And what that means is that you have to fight more. And I think in terms of technically singing, it means that people tend to really rip into things. Mm. They really use their whole body because they have such a deep experience where they have to find themselves because life's tough. Mm. And because of that, they have to propel themselves forward. Mm. And in terms of singing technique, I might have to stand up to show you this one. I did have a lesson with Anna Trebko's teacher
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
Her name was Novichenko. And she said that on the high notes, what you should do is actually lean back like mm. this. So you actually have to engage all of that down there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought that was quite a good example, actually, yeah. of really, you know, bearing down and propelling yourself out.
Yeah, yeah. So then you were studying in Russia, but you now live in Vienna. And so you started singing all around Europe. Do you want to talk a little bit about, the life of a singer in Europe? You know, you study in Russia, you're living in Vienna, so you become immersed in languages. You sing, you know, a wider range of repertoire. You want to talk a little bit about how you started doing that?
Well, we lived in Berlin mm-hmm. and we started traveling around. My husband was assisting Ivan Fischer, mm-hmm. the conductor. And we were going a lot between Budapest and Berlin. And then I got jobs at the Hungarian State mm-hmm. Opera. And then it started to go a bit further afield. I started working in Belgium and mm-hmm. started being reinvited there quite a lot. Mm. And so, yeah, it's quite wonderful because the more you come back to somewhere, the more the audience recognizes mm-hmm. you. Even just something as simple as you come in and you know the airport, you know where to go to get your taxi. And in that sense, the colleagues that you work with become more important. Mm. And it's wonderful to come together with different people, sometimes in different locations. Mm. That's really fun as well. Have dinner together. But yes, of course. So I did the Verdi Requiem in Belgium recently. Mm-hmm. We had an Italian mezzo. Mm-hmm. We had a Russian tenor. Mm-hmm. And we had an Italian bass. So, you know, there was a lot of Italian going on.
Yeah,
let's
yeah.
go eat some pasta. And then we were in Belgium. So, of course, we all had a beer after the after the Requiem. And we were doing it all in Belgium with an Argentinian conductor.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's such a cosmopolitan atmosphere.
Yeah.
And it's it's entertaining, yeah.
Yeah, and those influences affect your performance as well.
Of course, yeah. And you can hear when a singer is singing, you can almost hear where they're from.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is why it's interesting for myself being an Australian. Sometimes people have a hard time picking where I'm from.
Well, I'm sure that's true because, as I said before, you sing with a great Russian technique. Let me say too that the Russian singers that you hear these days are phenomenally well schooled. They have excellent techniques, and they sing, as you say, with their whole body,
their whole souls as
exactly.
well.
Exactly, and it's tremendously exciting.
It is,
and so I'm sure you know when people hear you, they probably think that you're Russian.
Yeah, and then I might start speaking to them in Italian.
Yeah,
I actually went on exchange to Italy when I was a teenager.
Uh-huh.
So I sort of speak Italian still, and then they sort of go, hey, wait, where are you from?
Mm.
It's good fun. But then also coming home to Vienna, it's tremendously inspiring. You know, I'll get back to Vienna, do the washing, you know, do the shopping and all that normal life stuff. Then I go and meet my agent in the third district of Vienna, and I pass the house where Beethoven composed the Ninth Symphony.
I mean, that's
just incredible also.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah. Well, Eleanor, thank you for coming in today.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
Great talking to you. And you're going to sing something for us.
Yes. I'm going to bring a Russian song for you to hear, Vesennye Vody, which means spring waters.
Mm-hmm.
When you've been in Russia in winter, you really understand what spring is.
Yeah.
It's the beginning of life again. And this song is all about, even though the snow is still laying on the banks of the river, the water is rushing and it's screaming out that spring is coming. So I hope you enjoy.
I'm sure you will. Thank you very much, Eleanor.
Thanks, Lyndon.
Thank you for listening to In Conversation with Lyndon Terracini. We hope you've enjoyed the chat and we'd love for you to subscribe to the podcast. That way, you'll get each new episode as they're released. We also hope to see you in the theatre in the not-too-distant future. And you can stay up to date with all we've got going on at opera.org.au.